A couple of weeks ago, after a Wednesday night study, several of the young families stayed in the building long after services got out, as they usually do. It's a great opportunity for the parents to socialize and for the kids to play. Well, it didn't seem like it took very long. In fact, it was within minutes. It just seemed like every kid in the building was crying. Aaron Smith and I stood in the back of the building and just contemplated all the reasons that babies cry. And for those of you who are parents, can reaffirm that you can't even count the number of reasons that babies cry. In fact, it seems as if at times there isn't a reason that babies cry. They just do. This evening, it's more than likely, in fact it already has, a baby will cry in this auditorium. But tonight, let's learn from them. We need to be more like them. Truth is, babies cry because they need something. Though that something can be one of many things, and sometimes we have no idea what it is, the need arises out of the fact that they can't fill that need themselves. They are fed because they cannot feed themselves. They can't go to work. They can't earn. Most of them can't even hold the bottle to feed themselves. They are changed because they don't know how to clothe themselves or even use the potty. But the fact that they have all these needs means that they are dependent. And so for those who are taking care of crying babies, you mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, you should be commended because you're doing for those who cannot. We're going to learn a lesson this evening from Hezekiah in 2 Kings. Turn to 2 Kings in chapter 17. We're going to begin there. Hezekiah sometimes acted like a big baby, but good for him. He was dependent, and it was in the times where he became independent that he suffered most. Where do we first find Hezekiah? Actually, not 17. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to learn two lessons from Hezekiah. One lesson from Jesus. And the lesson can be summed up in this. We need to learn to be more dependent upon our Heavenly Father, even though we may think that we are mature, we may think we are adults, we may think that we can take care of ourselves, but we need to learn to be dependent upon Him. We first find Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18. Let's read together 2 Kings 18, verses 1 through 5. Now it came about in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, and the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. He broke into pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the sons of Israel burned incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. I want to note a few things about Hezekiah from this passage. Hezekiah was dependent in his early years. What are the things that it says about Hezekiah in this passage? In chapter 5, or in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. And then just afterwards, in verse 6, it says that he clung to the Lord. As I was writing this, I just totally saw a child in hand. A child bearing him up in his arms. You know that child always just holds on for dear life? Well, that's how I see Hezekiah. Because he trusted in the Lord so much that he was tearing down high places. He was tearing down idols. And he wanted to please the Lord. And it was that trust, that dependence, that was soon going to be tested. Because the next six verses to follow talk about the fact that Hezekiah withstood while all the nations around him were crumbling to the king of Assyria. It says that he withstood because he was obedient to the Lord, and that Israel was taken off into captivity because they did not obey the Lord, because they did not trust in him. And even that trust was soon going to be tested, because in all of the verses to follow, the king of Assyria sends messengers to Hezekiah. And what he says is, don't think that you can trust in the Lord. Don't think that your God can save you. That's what all the other nations said. And when they said that, do you think their gods delivered them? No. They were delivered into my hands. And I'm coming after you. With all these threats, they just kept pouring on and pouring on. He seeks counsel from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah comforts him. But soon that test became so strong that he had to realize that he was dependent upon the Lord. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. Or sorry, 19, verse 8. Rabshakeh was one of the heralds that was sent from the king of Assyria to Hezekiah, and he's speaking again. Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, and he heard that the king had left Lachish. And when he heard them say concerning Tirhaka, king of Cush, "Behold, he has come out to fight against you," he sent messengers again to Hezekiah. "Thus you shall say to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying Jerusalem will not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them completely. So will you be spared? Did the gods of those nations which my fathers destroyed deliver them? Even Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the sons of Eden, who were in Telassar. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sarfavayim, of Hena and Eva? Where are they?" What happens in the verses to follow are key to us to understand if we are going to be dependent upon the Lord. Because he starts crying. Crying as if he were a baby to his father to save him. Read with me Hezekiah's prayer. As Hezekiah did not fall to the king of Assyria, where he fell was to his knees in prayer. Because he realized that his strength was not sufficient. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord and said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, who are enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the nations of earth, or of all the kingdoms of earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and listen to the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, O God, the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but works of men's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Lord, our God, I pray, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, our God. Hezekiah recognized that he didn't have any strength within himself to save him. He also recognized that all of the idols which had been cast into the fire, the works of men's hands, was not able to save him. I think that's a good illustration. The works of men's hands is not able to save Hezekiah. But what is? That which is not made with hands. God was the one who was able to save him, and he showed his dependence upon the Lord because he prayed. The Lord answered his prayer. And this is a verse that we read in class this morning, just because it is a great passage to talk about what the Lord is able to accomplish. Start in chapter 19, verse 32. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come to this city or shoot an arrow there, and he will not come before it with a shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, by the same he will return. And he shall not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then it happened that night that an angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. The Lord answered his prayer. We also read this morning during Frank's lesson about earthly fathers and how when we ask our earthly fathers for food or anything else, if we ask them for bread, they're not going to give us a stone. And the point was made, how much more is our Heavenly Father going to take care of us? It's not that God just gave him bread at this point. God slew 185,000 people without a single arrow being shot. It's a wonderful example that Hezekiah was so dependent upon the Lord. And soon after, just beginning in chapter 20, there's another test that comes against Hezekiah. He's fallen ill. He can't even walk. What does he do at that point? He prays. Once again, he cries out to his father to save him. Cries out to God. As if he were a child in need of something. Because he understood that he wasn't able to take care of himself. You know, soon, one day, babies learn to walk. And then they learn to run. It's been really fun watching Caleb cook as he gropes the pews and starts to move along. Stephen said this morning that he's starting to walk, and pretty soon Janelle and Stephen aren't going to be able to keep that boy still. He's just going to be running all over. But as kids get older, parents, it just seems as if all they do is run. Preteens run from the advice of their parents. Teenagers run from their parents' supervision, their rules, their commands. They just keep running. Those teen years are crucial. I mean, they're developing as adults. They're starting to do it early, but they're starting to develop. But it's in those times that they can start to think, you know, I can take care of myself. When I was a teenager, it was surprising how much my parents didn't know. Me and my mom fought all the time. We argued and we argued. You know, and it's also surprising that now that I've grown up a little bit, my parents got really smart all of a sudden. It's just as if all the things that they should have known all those years ago have just flown into their brain and they're now very knowledgeable. Or is it that I've started listening more? Hezekiah shows an example as he matures that he gets independent. And that's when he starts to get in trouble. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12, read with me. At that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Hezekiah listened to them and showed them all his treasure house, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious oil and the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in the house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to the king Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where have they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come from a far land, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah said, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasuries that I have not shown them." We'll stop there. The reason we're going to stop there is to make this point. Before, when Hezekiah was faced with a foreign king, the first thing that he did was he sought the counsel of the prophet. And he waited upon the word of the Lord to act. And the fact that he waited, he was able to act with wisdom. He was dependent upon God's knowledge and God's will to act. But this time, he just went ahead. Possibly didn't think that there was anything wrong. And so he showed him everything. And he trusted the king of Babylon before he trusted in the Lord. And what happens? In the verses to follow, Isaiah pronounces a judgment upon him. He says, "All that you've laid up, everything that you've just shown them, will one day be in the storehouses of Babylon. And so will your sons, and so will your nation." He wasn't as dependent. He was independent, and he was foolish. His big mistake was in chapter 20, verse 13. Hezekiah listened to them. You know, it seems at times as if, it's kind of not fair, is it? This king of Babylon wasn't nearly as forward or abrasive as the king of Assyria. He even brought a gift when he came. And he came because Hezekiah was sick. Yet at the same time, he was just as much a danger to the king Hezekiah. And when he listened to them, when he acted outside the will of the Lord, it's when he got in trouble. Independence is kind of a tricky thing, kind of a scary thing. We need to learn from her. We need to learn to be dependent. And because sometimes we think we can take care of ourselves, because sometimes we think that we are strong enough, we are able, we are mature enough, we know enough, That's when we start getting into trouble. I have a special message for you young people this evening. And here's where you start squirming in your seats. But here's what I want to tell you. You are at a crucial time in your life. You are developing into your own people, your own person. You're developing your own character. You're growing independent, even independent of your parents. One day you're going to move out, and it's not a bad day. But the fact that you're growing up, the fact that you're growing independent of your parents, I still urge you, listen to your parents. Honor your father and mother. But above all, though you are becoming independent, though you are growing up, you will never outgrow God. Ever. And you should never become independent of Him. Because when you do, when you start to think, I'm old enough, I'm mature enough, I'm strong enough to do this on my own, you are in more danger than an infant. You are more helpless than an infant. It was in the times in my life where I thought I was independent, I was mature, I was strong, that I dishonored my father most. I thought I was strong, but Satan conquered me. I thought I was independent. And so I thought to rid the sin from my life, thinking that I was able to, so that I could give God a life worth having, that He would be proud to call me His son. But my sin increased. I thought I was mature. And so I thought I could handle the temptations that my friends were throwing at me. But I gave in. And the reason is this. I stand before you now having been one who has failed. I didn't succeed when I thought I could do it on my own. Because this one reason. Only am I when I am in the Lord am I strong. Only through God am I able even to live, to breathe, and have my very being. It is only in God that I can conquer, or the sin in my life can even be conquered. Though I still struggle with it, and though we all do, God is stronger than we are. And we need to learn to be more dependent upon Him. How do you do that? How is it that we can be a good child of God? What better source for that than to ask the Son of God? Jesus shows us how to truly be a son. Jesus, who was strongest among all men, not by physical strength, but because every sin, every temptation that has faced man, man fell to, all of us, except Jesus. He still continually entrusted himself to the Lord. You continually find him in prayer crying, Father. And when it got hard, you find him praying all the more. Turn to Matthew chapter 29. There is no Matthew chapter 29. Shh. 26 verse 39. That's where we're supposed to go. This is the example that Jesus gives us of how to be dependent upon the Lord. What's the context of Matthew chapter 26? These are the last few hours that Jesus had before he went off to be crucified. This is the last time that he was going to be able to spend time with his Father before he went and saw his Father. Before he faced the hardest trial he ever went through. Before that, what do you find him doing but entrusting himself to the Lord? Read verse 39 with me. And he went a little while beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but your will." Jesus showed us how to be his son, how to truly be dependent upon God, because he first entrusted himself through prayer. And second, that he submitted to the Lord. Sometimes it's hard to listen to your parents. Do you remember those times when you were a kid when your mom was telling you something that you just didn't want to do and it was really hard to listen to? Jesus received the hardest command of all. No parent is ever going to look at a child and say, "Go die." That's even hard to say. You may say, "Go clean your room." But how hard is that really? But the fact that it was so hard, Jesus shows us how to be truly dependent upon God, a true son, because he submitted to his will. And he was obedient to it. And he cried out, "My Father, please." God was with him in the following hours, strengthening him because he needed it. Because God was the only person in this world who was with him at that time. All forsook him. You know, sometimes, once we get older, and I'm starting to see this in myself more now, talking to a few guys from here, that I have more adult responsibilities in my life now than I've ever had before. I've graduated college, I'm paying rent, I'm going to start taking on a car payment. What child has that? You who are older, I mean, you know how these things are. And don't you sometimes just wish that you could be a kid again? We spent our entire childhood wanting to be an adult, and we spent our entire adulthood wanting to be a child. The irony. We want to sit around our table when the biggest concern that we have is not that we are putting food on it, but whether or not we like the dinner. That we will choke down our broccolis because they're going to make us big and strong like our dad. Or even eating spinach in the childlike hope that it really will make our muscles 10 times the size of normal men. Be like Popeye. Don't you just wish you were a kid again? You know what time I miss? It wasn't that long ago for me. I miss the times when I had just been baptized. You know why? Because it was in that time that I craved the Word. I was in the Word every day. Just because I wanted to know more. I was always going to my Father in prayer. Because I knew that he was able to take care of me. I didn't have a worry in the world. Just like a child. Because God was taking care of me. I miss those days. Hezekiah as he grew, as he matured, he grew away from God in the sense that he didn't consult him first. Just like me, for a while, I grew away from my Bible. I started thinking, you know, I kind of know something. No. I started thinking, I'm an adult, I can take care of myself. No. There's not a blessing that I have today that hasn't come from the Lord. I just want you guys to consider these things this evening. How are you going to show yourself as being more dependent upon God? How can we? We talked about it this morning during class in the auditorium out here. Some of the things that were said. Spend more time listening to your Father. Spend more time in His Word. In His will, being obedient to it. Spend more time in prayer, knowing that that is what strengthens us. I pray that you would be dependent upon God. That's it. That is the end of my message. That is all that I want to say. I want you to be more dependent upon God. If, in fact, you are at a time now where you are independent, where you think you might be able to take care of yourself, I tell you, you are helpless. But being united with Christ, being empowered by Christ, feel like Tim Tebow. Oh, wait, don't make Florida references. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what he has on his face thing. Jesus Christ, we need to be children with him. We need to be sons of God, dependent upon him. And I pray you would do that today.